3, 2, 1. Julio, what's up, man?
What's up?
What's going on?
Oh, not much, man. It's a beautiful, beautiful, what's today, Tuesday out here in the Bay Area? Yeah.
Thanks for coming in clutch last second, last minute.
Yeah, you got me while I was in the middle of teaching a class. I was like, oh, hell yeah.
Oh, sweet. Okay. Yeah. Well, before we get started, I want to wish Krisha. She was supposed to be here tonight, but I guess she's wasn't feeling well. Krisha, if you're watching or listening, just we'll catch up some other time. So I hope you feel better. So what's up, Julio?
Not much, man. I just got home. Girlfriend wasn't feeling too good. That's why I almost had to cancel on you also, but she's being a trooper and hanging in there. So,
what's going on with people not feeling good these days?
I have no idea, man, what it is. Like, hell, I feel fine. Although the blood tests that I just got done over the weekend are saying different, but
I thought, COVID was done.
I don't think so.
I thought we were safe.
I think people are like downplaying it at this point just to kind of skip ahead and try to have a normal life.
Just so that things can open up and people can have a normal life. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, whatever normality is at this point, but yeah.
Yeah. I don't see how things are normal still.
I don't. I got buddies that work in hospitals that are still telling people are still coming in sick, even though it's a lot less than it was a few months ago during the spike. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man.
Well, it minimized. So, I mean, that's a good thing.
So, how do you want to do it tonight? You want to have like a little catch up on what I'm up to, life, all that good stuff?
Sure. Whatever floats your boat. Whatever floats your boat, because we can sink it.
I mean, honestly, like, the last few months have been like a bit of a good roller coaster for sure. Like, I think last time we spoke was in what, December?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so I think at the time, my parents' in-law unit that I just moved into was getting remodeled. Me and my girlfriend moved into it, so we're now staying together, finally. What else do I got going on?
So before December, you guys were living separately? Now you guys are living together?
Yeah, now we're living together, so that's good. Got the place remodeled exactly how I wanted it, so that's kind of nice. I've got to make it my own thing. Cost me quite a bit of money, but I feel like I'm paying less than I would be for an apartment in the Bay Area, and I actually get to come home to something I really do like. So, and I get to keep my parking spot.
Yeah, that's always a plus, right?
Yeah, so that's cool. I left my job and went back. That was kind of weird.
Why does it feel every time we talk you have a different job or a different?
What happened? Company. What happened in this case was I was kind of like at the bottom of the toll pole in seniority, and I was getting like the rough end of the stick. Literally, I was getting like put like on all these crazy different shifts, and then over. Between like December 26th and like January the 4th, I think, I worked 10 days straight. And it was like the third or fourth time that it happened. And I just had it. And at the time, me and my girlfriend had just moved in, like literally right before I started that rotation. And I remember like I had like a 2-day weekend after all that. My boss promised me a 4-day, right? And he couldn't do it, and I got pissed. Not a petty, I applied to work as an EMT again. I applied to a 911 service provider in the Bay Area, which will remain nameless because I'm going to get to the details of all the red flags that lit up, well, that they got put up in the matter of days while I was working there. And, you know, I did the interview and everything. And they're like, oh, hell yeah, we're impressed with all your, you know, your background, your knowledge, your history, and all that good jazz. And I took a job offer, right? They were promising to pay me close to what I was making at my current job at the time. They were talking about, though, their union was in contract negotiations, and they were going to be like the second best paid company, at least in the Bay Area, as far as for EMTs and paramedics. And so I was like, okay, you know, I probably won't be taking too much of a loss, maybe $3-4 at the most. And I won't be a supervisor anymore, but I won't have the headaches of a supervisor, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I put in my 2 weeks, and the day that I went to go turn in my uniforms and everything after finishing my last shift, I get a new contract emailed to me, and it was like the new union negotiated contract. And man, I look at what they were going to be paying me, and it was like 23 and some change an hour. And I was like, dude, that's a pretty steep drop. But again, out of pettiness, I was like, you know what? No, I'm going to take the job anyway. You know, being stubborn and shit. And so I take on the job. I start my first week. I'm in the classroom the first week. And one of the red flags was the paramedic instructor telling us that, oh, we have to have our own personal liability insurance. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is a pretty big company, and you guys are a union, and you're telling me I got to get my own personal liability insurance?
Hmm.
In case somebody sues my ass? What the fuck? I can curse, right?
Absolutely not.
Of course. Sure.
We've gone PG since the last time we spoke. Oh, man,
come on. Don't give me that. I've listened to some of your episodes recently. I've heard curse words. And so I was like, whatever. I let that slide, right? They tell me while I'm in class, oh, yeah, you guys are on a training pay rate for the first month, and it was supposed to be $21.45 or $21.50 an hour. And I was like, oh, God damn it. Okay, I can do this. You know, there's overtime and all the shifts. I can do this. Right, thinking I'm gonna pay my bills and crap.
Yeah.
And we start the first week on the ambulance. It was like a 3-day work week, and we got held over 4 hours on every 12-hour shift,
like at the end of the night.
Yeah. And on top of that, I got stationed like further away than I thought I was gonna be by like an additional 20 miles. And I was just like, oh, goddamn. So, you know, I got to wake up like at 3:30 in the morning, leave my house at 4, be there at 5 a.m., work till 5 a.m. or so I thought. And also, they told us if you clock in 15 minutes early, we'll pay you for those 15 minutes, but it had to be exactly on the dot, 15 minutes. Never got paid for any of that. Ambulance companies will F you over.
Yeah. What do you do? What's your livelihood? What do you do as a
career? So now, at the moment, I'm currently a road and safety supervisor is my official title for a bus company in the Bay Area. I'm not going to say who they are. They're like a big global company, but they have a municipal contract. I'm not going to get into all those details. And here's the kicker. So, you know, I do my first three shifts. I have a 4-day weekend. And then I start my new four-day work week, which was supposed to be 4 12s if I didn't get held over.
Yeah.
I'm driving lights and sirens that entire day. And in the morning hours, I'm not going to get into too many details, but let's just say the guy who was training me, his dude pretty much didn't like the way I was driving, which it's kind of hilarious because I've been an EMT before. I've driven on lights and sirens. I've even been the instructor who taught at the old company I worked at how to drive with lights and sirens, right? And I didn't tell this to the guy. I was like, whatever. This dude's in his like late 40s, early 50s, and he's still an EMT. I'm not going to say shit.
Right.
But we almost got into it afterwards. Whoa, Gil, what happened there?
Do you want to put, I think it was the bell ringing from your phone.
Let me see if I can. Let's go with that. That's the guy who's texting me right now about something. Let me just mute the text stream.
Tell them we're going live.
They know. I'm on the Mind Buzz right now. Let me just remind them, though.
Tell them you're on the Mind Buzz that they're fucking it up right now. Excuse me, screwing it up. Sorry, producers.
You're listening to Magrito Podcast Network. celebrating the culture of Chicanos and Latinos one story and voice at a time. Listen to more Magrito Podcast Network shows over at magrito.net. Connect on social, on Instagram and Facebook at Magrito, the Magrito Podcast Network.
There we go. All right. So, yeah, anyway, I almost pretty much like the guy got in my face about the whole driving thing. And as that's happening, this is like a crazy moment in time. But my old boss at the bus company I just left calls me and is asking me to come back.
Oh.
And I was just, and he left me the voicemail, right? And I listened to it like 20 minutes later. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I think I will, because I just got, I'm getting like pretty badly screwed here. So I took the offer and I resigned later that day. And 2 days later, I was back at my old job.
Damn, that's fucking nuts, dude.
Got a little pay raise out of it and got the schedule that I wanted. And yeah.
Damn. It's funny how once you do that to a company and they think about, you know, how much they value you being there, and they just have to, you just have to dangle something over their head so that way you can get what you want.
And it was crazy, was like, it wasn't so much the money that was bugging me, it was just like the inconsistent crazy scheduling of, oh, can you do this, can you do that, can you come in, can you come back in 10 hours. I'm like, dude, I'm trying to live my life, like,
yeah,
I was barely home to oversee the remodel of my place. I had to kind of like do stuff via freaking like FaceTime and get photos and shit, and like make decisions on the fly with my contractor was at Home Depot picking stuff out. So, you know, like all that, I was like, what the fuck? But yeah, no, it worked out. It's worked out pretty well so far. Today I was actually in the classroom. I covered for the instructors and just was teaching new hire stuff, showing them videos and all that jazz. And yeah, no, it's worked out pretty good. I'm happy with how everything worked out. And also, you know, I can at least say I did 911 for like 3 weeks and it just wasn't my thing. Like I liked it. It was cool, but I forgot how much my body aches after a day of like literally racing around and like help people out that are injured and hurt and sick and all that. And as much as I appreciate what my friends that are working in that environment do right now in healthcare, whether they're in an ambulance or a hospital or whatever, I realized, man, it's something that I did, like I said, in the past, and it's something I can leave behind in the past because I enjoyed it back then. I don't think I enjoyed it as much this time around.
Why do you think that you don't enjoy it as much? Is it because you've been doing it for so long?
I think that's part of it, dude, because yeah, like a lot of my past jobs were very public service oriented, like first responder type roles. And I think I think being an EMT, I peaked in it. That's where I peaked as far as like satisfaction for the job wise. And now I'm just like, man, you know, I could honestly do anything else in my life at this point and it wouldn't bother me. I don't want to be one of those guys who's like in his mid 40s burned out from having like, you know, whether it be worked in an ambulance or whatever, and just like can't feel compassion for people anymore and like, and want to help them with their issue or with their problem. You know, not that I wouldn't do what I have to do, but I feel like I wouldn't wake up every day happy about it. I'd be like that old grumpy guy, like that salty ass motherfucker that everybody can't stand. And I don't want to be that guy
ever. Well, at least you identified that early on before you became something that you didn't want to be. Right.
That, and in total, I took a $10 an hour pay cut, and I was like, yeah, can't do this.
Yeah, well, that will change anybody's decision on what they want to do. Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. Dude, and the only check I got from those guys, and I think I racked up like almost 70 hours. No, actually, no, I went over 70 hours for sure. I had like 80-something hours, and I only got a check for like $1,000.
So, clearly, what you're doing on this show is filing a labor claim, right?
Yes, I am.
California, what is it? California labor
California
law? Labor law claim? Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I can file a couple other shirts, some couple other employers, but we'll keep that under wraps for now.
Why do you think that they had to schedule you all these crazy hours? Is it because there's a deep market for people for what you do? Like, is there a huge need for EMT drivers?
Yeah, it's kind of like every other industry in America right now. Everyone is hurting to find people.
I don't get that. Like,
because
how does that happen? Dude, how is it happening?
They hired me so fucking fast. They didn't even do like you like when okay. My first EMT job, I had to do like a skills test when I went to the company that I applied to, and I had to do like a written test and everything. You know, like general knowledge of like you know stuff you need to know as an EMT, like National Registry medical knowledge stuff. And that was for a company that didn't even pay that well back then. Like little mom and pop shop, right? And this is like, this company is still a mom and pop shop, but they have like a 911 service agreement with one of the bigger Bay Area counties. So it's kind of like, damn, you guys are that effing desperate. Like that's like all that went out the window. The only thing I think I had to do was, a little hands-on thing where I did a CPR for 3 minutes and carried like a 50-pound equipment bag around their parking lot and lowered and raised a manual gurney with the help of another person into an ambulance, and that was it. But I was just like, damn, they made that thing super streamlined. But as far as that labor shortage goes, I think what it is, and it's one of those things a lot of people are noticing, kind of like I noticed, like, hey, if you feel like your skills and your knowledge are worth something, right? Or even if your time is valuable to you, then you need to draw the line somewhere with your employer and be like, hey, like, it's either I get compensated for what I'm worth or for my time, or I'm just going to, you know, like find someone who will. And I think that's what's going on right now with this, with people resigning. I think what they said last month, it was like 4.2 million people in America resigned from their jobs.
I heard something that they have a name for it, and I think they're calling it...
The Great Resignation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The Great Resignation. But it's falling... Yes. It's right now, it's an employee market in all industries. I mean, you're in the public service industry. I work more with... hospitality, and even hospitality is just it's hard to find people. Nobody wants to work. Nobody wants to be behind a counter. Nobody wants to pick up dishes. Nobody wants to dishwash. It's nobody wants to wait tables. It's nuts.
I almost wish I had an answer for what it is exactly, but I think people just don't. I honestly can't even put it into thought, dude, because I've never, this is something that's obviously never happened in history, at least that thing you and I can research, right? Like, I mean, the numbers show for themselves month by month, people are resigning or switching jobs or going back to school for stuff. Like
absolutely. That's true.
I think that's something that like a couple of like, reports have noticed that like there's people switching industries, so they're like either, you know, learning a trade or they're getting like a license to become truckers. I mean, we have like a huge trucker shortage, and even that's one of those things where I saw an article this morning on Facebook that says we don't have a trucker shortage as far as like we don't have enough truckers in this country. I think we have a trucker shortage because a lot of truckers don't want to work for a private distributor that's going to take most of their pay while they drive a truck for them.
Right.
That belongs to them.
So they're probably starting their own, you know, smaller business, smaller company.
Exactly.
Taking a 1099.
Well, they're driving, right. You know, driving for themselves and being their own independent contractor.
I think especially like with gig work and there's a, now more than ever, there's a lot of agencies that are like their apps on your phone, and those people are they're making money like crazy. Dude, amount of dollars an hour just for gig work.
Off the top of my head, I have two friends that have started their own businesses. One of them is a mechanic. He started his own mobile fleet repair business a year ago, and it's finally booming to where he's working for himself. Like, he quit his actual job a few weeks ago, and now he's on his own, scheduling work, ordering supplies, doing his own thing. And I have another one who started like a little funnel cake company that she does on the weekends. you know, with the idea of, well, you know, I'd like to have like a shop or something, or a bakery shop where I can sell my own stuff eventually in the future. And I think there's that too. I think people are just like, hey, you know what? I'm going to give my hopes and dreams a shot for,
yeah,
and see what I can do. You know, like, if you don't shoot your shot, like people say, you're going to miss 100% of those shots you don't take.
Yeah, I think
there's a lot of that going on too.
Absolutely. I think what the pandemic did, it housed people indoors or, you know, outdoors, whatever, mm-hmm. really thinking about their livelihood. And they made the decision to either go back to work for a company or start something yourself.
Right.
That has a great, I think it has a huge impact on how and what the labor shortage is today. I mean, if I started my own company, I don't know. But the thing is, and I've researched, I think depending on what kind of entrepreneur you want to be, you can still have a 9-to-5 job. I mean, you just have to manage your time correctly. I mean, you can still get that paycheck every 2 weeks, but still have like
benefits and all that stuff.
Yeah. Still have an extra income, you know, if you're, you know, doing events on the weekend, or if you're,
you and I are here on a podcast right now recording for fun.
If you're starting your own, you know, podcast company, or if you're a blogger, or if you're just doing remote work on your off time that you're not in the office.
Yeah.
Right.
It's kind of crazy you mentioned those two things. I've started vlogging, and me and the guys obviously started a podcast over a year and a half ago. And it's like the time management skills, they come in clutch.
Yeah,
for sure. Cause absolutely. You have to like the more stuff you add to your plate, you're literally taking away more time from your day. Like, I think I used to have a lot of time to just sit around and be lazy. Now it's like, well, I got to go to the gym, or I got to go do this, or I got to like run this important errand, or I got to help my parents out with something here and there. Or like, I got to devote time to my girlfriend, take her out places, you know? So it's like every minute now, from the second I wake up till I go to bed, is like very, it's valuable as hell. It has to be used to something important, you know? Like, not that I don't have downtime. I do. I schedule that downtime and I enjoy it. But I know that like, I have 3 hours to chill here and there, like maybe throughout the week. And then I have other hours where I'm devoting like to you right now. I could just be lazy right now, chilling in bed. Actually, I have a video to edit. That was my plan for tonight. When you hit me up, I was like, I'm just going to put that aside.
It's all good. You can do it after.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. I've gotten to the point where I can do it in like 10 minutes and it'll take me longer to render than anything else.
What the pandemic has taught me is time management, especially with something that you do that's like content creation, enjoyable. Like after this starting this thing that I call the Mind Buzz, it helps me with time management. Like I never used a calendar before, and like planning. Planning your day and just setting out blocks of time for your day, throughout the month, booking stuff, you know, like you said, adding, you know, a couple of hours for the gym.
My girlfriend gets upset with me because on my days off, right, there's days she just wants me to be home and be lazy. Mm-hmm. And yet I have like, let's say I wake up at 8 a.m. in the morning on Saturday and I have errands to run, right? Depending what they are, depending what time the businesses are open till, I literally put like hour and a half to 2 hour or maybe 1 hour blocks of drive here, do this, and then drive here, do that. And then by the time it's all said and done, it'll be 3 p.m., 4 p.m., and then I'm free. And she's like, you don't really rest. I'm like, well, I have shit to do. And it's important that I get it done. And that's one of those things, like, we're coming back to time management. It's like, I don't think in the past I was that anal about it.
Yeah.
Compared to now, you know, for like, oh, okay, I wake up and, you know, if as long as I can head out the door around 11 or 1 in the afternoon and go here and go there, I'll be fine. Now it's like, nope, okay, get up, get some coffee in you, get a little bit of food, out the door in 35, 40 minutes and get going.
The Mind Buzz is powered by Mind Buzz Media. Mind Buzz Media is an on-site video and audio podcast production company. Have you ever thought about starting your own video and audio podcast? Or do you have an existing podcast that you want to take to the next level? Mind Buzz Media brings a professional podcast studio to you. Visit mindbuzz.org for more. Yeah. I mean, we have these tools. We have the technology to better our lives. Oh, yeah. Why not fucking use them?
Exactly. Like
alarms. Dude. Reminders.
I have alarms on here, reminders, calendar dates. Email tracking. It's so much shit on here. Hell, even for my health, this thing's tracking my steps. Like,
it's insane. Do you have an Apple Watch? An iWatch?
I do not.
Or do you have an... you have an Apple phone, don't you?
I have an iPhone. As the guys on the podcast always make fun of, I am the Apple lover because they think that it's super easy. And I just, they think because iPhones are super easy to use and simple.
So you're the only one that has an Apple phone?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I was about to get a new iPad Pro this past week and AT&T tried to hit me up with paying $300 in taxes up front. I was like, yeah, I'm good. That's not what you guys advertise online, so screw you.
Dude, you need to get an iWatch. I'm telling you, man. It revolutionized my life.
I know what I'm about to say is gonna make you laugh. If I get the job that I've applied to soon, where I will be in more of an administrative role and be on the road a little bit, I will do that.
Yeah, do it. I mean, even if you pick up somebody in a parking lot or, pick up a patient and put them on the gurney and they have an iWatch, just slip it out of their hand. They're not going to know. Just do it, man.
We are not consenting to stealing here, ladies and gentlemen.
Julio is and I am.
And Gil, you do what you want to do, man. I'm not incriminating myself on this podcast.
That's fine.
Anyway, man, what you got going on right now, dude? How have you been? I feel like I've done most of the talking.
No, it's all good. Dude, you're the special guest.
Only special because you didn't have anybody. No, I'm messing with you, dude.
Thanks for coming in clutch, by the way.
Yeah, I'm hoping I'm still going to be able to make it this weekend to LA. Now things are looking a little weary.
Are they?
Yeah, my girlfriend's sick, but I don't know. Like, she's sick, but this isn't the kind of sick I've ever seen her be sick before.
She angry sick?
No, like, okay. Super tired in weeks.
Really?
I'm like, okay. Yeah, I've been asking her, hey, let's go see the doctor the last couple days. She don't want to. I think tonight's going to be the night where I'm just like, you're going. Get in the fucking car.
Yeah?
Yeah, so I'm probably going to be in the ER in a couple hours, sleeping in on a bed or something there with her. Who knows? We'll see.
Is that what
you... praying I don't, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the idea earlier, and she just took a couple of Advils and backed out of it. I'm like, okay, but at any point, you need to go. You interrupt me and just drop it. I'll drop what I'm doing, and we're going. But she says she's doing all right now, so we'll see.
That's good.
Yeah,
I've been good. Honestly, I've been focused on,
I see you going to the gym a lot.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Yeah.
Because I've been doing that too.
Yeah.
I just haven't been posting about it.
I have to. I use it as, I don't have an accountability buddy. I use that as accountability for myself. If that makes sense.
Get back into that. Yeah. That's what I used to do back in the day. I would always upload my shit to Snapchat. Maybe I need to start doing that again.
I use it to make myself accountable. And dude, I've become obsessed with working out.
That's how I used to be in the past.
I've become obsessed with sweating my ass off. I've become obsessed with eating cleaner. I become obsessed with results. And then especially...
You've become a true gym rat, is what it sounds like.
And especially listening to David Goggins' book.
Dude!
Can't Hurt Me? Oh my God!
I have this. I bought his audio book on my iPhone. It's a really good book.
Isn't it great?
My older brother turned me on to it because he went through some shit recently. And I guess that's one of the one of the books. He actually bought the actual book itself and read it, and kind of like looked him up first, and that's how he found out about him, and that's what helped him get through some stuff.
I've always seen him. I've always seen clips of him on the Joe Rogan Experience. I've always seen. I follow David Goggins on Instagram, and
on Instagram.
I see his live videos.
He doesn't have like a YouTube channel, but I've noticed like he has a lot of content from like being a guest and a voiceover,
right?
On people's videos and stuff, like motivational videos for sure.
Yeah,
when you hear his story,
even though he says that motivation is shit and that you need to be driven, and motivation does zero for yourself.
I think motivation does zero if you don't fucking like actually.
You don't do it.
Take it and follow it. Yeah, if you don't exactly. If you don't do it, there's no point. There's no point in telling yourself or trying to put into fruition something if you're not taking actions towards getting it started at least, or getting it going, or getting it done.
Absolutely, it becomes wishful thinking. Wishful thinking. If you just take one motivational quote or one made a motivational story and you just listen to it and you're just like, oh, okay, well, this makes me feel some type of way. But if you're not taking action towards that,
I listen to his book at least 2 or 3 gym sessions a week while I'm in the gym. Like I'm taking it in chunks. I don't want to like just listen to it while I'm driving. What's the point of me listening to it while I'm stuck in traffic? I'm going to be yelling at the cars and drivers around me. I'm not going to like really pay attention to what he's saying. But when I'm in the gym, I'm so focused and honed in that it just works for me.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I can listen to audiobooks and podcasts when I'm lifting weights, but like because I do a lot of cardio. Like most of my stuff that I've been doing a lot of cardio. And I do about an hour of lifting weights. So I listen to the book or I listen to, a podcast. And then after that, when I go into my jogging portion of my workout, then I just throw some mean, angry punk music on. And that just keeps me, it just fucking pumps me up for that full hour.
Keeps your heart rate going.
Yeah.
Nice, dude.
Yeah.
You're doing better than me. The most I spare is like an hour of workout a week. For like the 4 or 5 times that I go to the gym, about an hour each time.
Yeah, I've been pushing.
I don't know. That's just
I've been pushing myself, dude. I've been pushing myself, and I think on the off time when I'm not listening, when I'm not listening to his book, like I've heard this this saying like 3 times today on 3 separate occasions about people having, 2,000 to 3,000 thoughts, a day. And it's just your thoughts. It's just you on how you talk to yourself. It's just you, how you react to things. It's you, how you are proactive to certain obligations or whatever it can be. But man, I don't know what it is. The combination of just maybe just listening to that book, because I've listened to a lot of motivational stuff and I've heard a lot of stories, but I don't know, man. There's just something different about this. I think it's just his attitude.
It's the attitude towards everything. And when you hear a story, right? Because he kind of gives it to you in pieces throughout the book. He does a good job of like describing not only like what he went through in life, but how he felt as he went through it. And I think like so far where I remember like one of the parts that sticks out is saying how like when he lived in Indiana, right? He would, back when he was with his fiance, the one who had a kid and everything, like the kid that wasn't his. Actually, no, they were married. And he'd sometimes go to his mom's house, and his mom would make him comfort food, like a stack of pancakes with chocolate chips. And at the time, he was working as an exterminator.
Yeah. For Ecolab.
Yep. And he was out of shape and everything. And like, he, But he was buff as hell, and you know, he could lift weights, and he knew he could intimidate some people sometimes just from how he looked, from being so big and sort of jacked. I guess you can have a lot of muscle mass and be fat. You can be both.
Yeah.
But he said, like, man, he couldn't run very well. He kind of knew, like, I forgot how he put it. He said it was like, what was the point of being so jacked if he was so fat and, like, you know, like, just would eat comfort food. And then when he realized he wanted to be a SEAL, it was like people would tell, you know, like a lot of SEAL, a lot of recruiters in the Navy were like, yo, man, we're pretty much telling him you're kind of like putting in a tall order if you think you're going to like just walk in here and join the SEALs in the shape you're in. There's guys that are in better shape than you and don't even make it to SEAL training or barely even make it through the SEAL training. I think that like that for me is something that sticks out when you're like, you have a dream, but you have a dream. It's one of those dreams that like, it's one of those things you have to step up to a challenge that someone is giving you the opportunity to step up to. Right. And if you're not prepared, the opportunity can fucking be there, but if you're not prepared, you're not prepared.
Right.
You can go run a fucking like 50-yard dash, but if you can't sprint, what's the point of showing up? You know, like, yeah, there's always taking your shot and giving it a shot, but there's also like setting yourself up for failure. And I think that's one of the things that he kind of like calls out, like Sublimity kind of calls out in the book. It's like, what's the point of me going to a recruitment office if I'm not in shape to even join the Navy, period?
Yeah. And I think like his concept of like callousing your mind and
yes,
and you know, taking souls. And just, I think his overall, at least from what I've heard, I think I'm like, what, 5 hours into the book? It's out of 13 hours. And
yeah, let me see how far along I'm at.
I think the mind callous takeaway is that's fucking, it's, I don't know.
I'm about halfway through. I got about 7 hours left in the book. Seven hours, 30 minutes.
Yeah, I think after tonight, I'll probably be around that. But yeah, dude, the mind callous thing is just, I think it's just raising the bar for yourself. And that's what he did. He raised the bar for himself. And nobody else did that besides himself.
The way I look at that is if, you know, for those listeners that haven't like read his book or listened to his book, you know, to the audiobook is, you know, people sometimes say, let shit roll off your back. I think it's like aggressive version of let stuff roll off your back, right? Like, yeah, in a sense, let it roll off your back by challenging yourself to deal with that problem and making yourself a stronger individual by dealing with it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
You know, it's like when you learn a new, it's like, you know, when I started becoming a freaking supervisor in an ambulance company, I don't know how to fucking do management shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, and sometimes the bosses, they don't have time to teach you, but they say, man, just, you know, like one of the example, we'll call Comcast and have them come fix our internet. I don't know how. You make a phone call, you give them your account number. Next thing you know, you're telling somebody to come fix your internet. Now, after that, you know how to call Comcast and effing have somebody come fix your internet. It's kind of like that. It's like you learn by just doing shit sometimes that you weren't comfortable with doing. But now that you've done it, you have this inner, like, you have this, I don't want to call it a comfort zone, but it's almost like you've built this damn.
You've stepped out of your comfort zone.
You stepped out of your comfort zone and you fucking mastered it.
You made
by mastering a little task.
Yeah, yeah. You made that uncomfortable task your bitch.
Mm-hmm. Like there's times where I'm at work and I'm like, damn, my bosses are asleep and I got to make decisions in the middle of the night if I'm covering stuff overnight or in the early morning hours. And it's like, well, fuck it. If this works and they're and everything's done right, then cool. And if it doesn't, I'm just going to hear about it. But at least I'd rather make the decision and see what happens. I know there's like there's a threshold of where I can't surpass and just go do something on my own without calling someone up and saying, hey, is this cool? But you know, like if I know that it's something that's not that big of a deal, then yeah, like fuck it. You just make the decision yourself. And if it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Either way, it's easier to ask. Sometimes it's easier to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission.
Yeah. like this morning, there was, I think there was a challenge in there. I forgot which, I think it was like challenge three, or something like that. Challenge four or something, whatever. I can't remember. Anyways, in the morning, he was challenging, I guess the reader, the listener, challenging me to step out of my comfort zone and go for things that are not easy for you. Like, for example, like right now I'm using those concepts for the gym, for working out. Honestly right now, like the reason why I'm doing so many hours, physically, because
you look a little skinnier, by the way.
Thank you. I've always thought to myself as a very mentally strong person. Mm-hmm. And I've never been, you know, the most fit. I've never been the most athletic. And that was a challenge for me. Right now, what I'm doing, being obsessed with the gym, is a fucking challenge for me, because there's some times in the morning where I'm just like, fuck, like I just want that extra hour of sleep. This morning, perfect example. This morning, so I made an appointment for myself for hot yoga, and that's a regular vinyasa yoga for
the temperature turned up
for 60 minutes in a 95 degree sauna room for an hour. Now, mind you, I'm not a yogi. I practiced it maybe about a month, 2 years ago during the pandemic, because I figured, like, fuck it, you know, I'm gonna try it. But I rose to the fucking occasion, because I was like, you know what, fuck it, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna fucking do it, and if I fail, then I fail. At least I fucking tried. But I'm not gonna, failure is not an option at this point. So this morning, last night, I did 2 hours at the gym before coming home. I was fucking beat to fucking hell. I was chafed. My legs were chafed. My legs were just, they're gone. They're fucking dead. I could barely walk into my house. I showered, went home. I laid down. I actually dehydrated myself last night. I was dehydrated when I got home. I had to force myself to eat because I was getting stomach cramps. I stopped sweating at the gym because I sweat so much, and there was no more liquid. There was no more fluids in my body. So I was getting a headache. I was getting cold sweats. My lips were chapped. My mouth was dry. Exhausted.
How high was your heartbeat?
I don't know. It was just fucking, it was just bumping like everything. I couldn't feel my body.
I know, that's what I'm saying. When you're telling me, I'm like, holy shit, how did you not kill yourself last night?
But when I got home, I forced myself to eat. I drank. I try to get as much vitamins as I can into me. But this morning, I almost quit. I almost said, fuck it, I'm just going to cancel the session this morning.
Right.
But I kept on hearing what he was talking about giving up right before. What does he say? Like, you give up too soon.
Stay hard.
Yeah. I would have given up too soon. I would have given up too soon. And most of us do that. Most of us give up way too soon that we have the potential for. So I said, fuck it. You know what? I'm just gonna go anyways, and maybe I'll take it easy, maybe I'm not, but at least I fucking showed up. At least I'm there.
Right.
And throughout that full hour of 90 to 95 degree sauna, doing the yoga, I think after that, I was just like, this is amazing. Like, I could have quit. Like, I would have stopped. I would have stopped. Right. But I kept going.
Instead, you kept pushing yourself to just keep to stay in it. Yeah,
I'm chasing the pain. I'm chasing what is hurting me, because I was the kid in school that never went to PE. I've always skipped PE.
I hated PE.
So did I. Like, I back in high school, I would ask for at least a first period PE or sixth period PE. So that way I can just not
get it over with.
Just not go.
Or just not go.
Just not go and just go straight to second period. Or if it was sixth period,
or go home.
I would go home straight after that. Yeah. So damn, I think right now I am in I'm obsessed. Right now I'm just obsessed with results. Physically. This podcast episode of The Mind Buzz is brought to you by House of Chingazos. House of Chingazos is a Latino-owned online store that speaks to Latino culture and Latino experience. I love House of Chingazos because I like t-shirts that fit great and are comfortable to wear. I wear them on the podcast and to the carne asadas. Click the affiliate link in the show description and use promo code TheMindBuzz. That's THEMINDBUZZ to receive 10% off your entire purchase. The cash saved will go directly to the Mind Buzz podcast to help us do what we do best, and that's bringing you more Mind Buzz content. Click the link in the show description for more.
Dude, you're in it. You're in the zone, man. You know what you want. You're going for it. I did that years ago, but I didn't. The motivation behind it was I was trying to become a cop. So once I realized, oh, like departments are taking my applications, I'd scored like a good written test exam score. I was like, oh, now I got to drop like fucking 70 pounds, and I fucking went nuts. I was swimming 3 times a week. I was in the gym 5 to 6 days a week, lifting weights and doing cardio in the gym. I was jogging 3 to 4 times a week. I was dropping like 12, 13, sometimes 15 pounds a month, which is insane. And honestly, I don't even think it's really that healthy to lose that
much weight. It's not. It's. I think I heard it's something like 2 pounds a week.
There was weeks where I did 2 pounds. There was weeks where I did 3.5, 4. And I'm like, holy shit. And like my waistline is shrinking. And I think I went from like 280, 285 to like 198. And I looked like a fucking brick wall. It was crazy, but I was like, damn, I couldn't. I hurt my back at the gym I think like 8 months into that year. I think it was, back in like 20. No. I hurt my back a year later. I ended up having to have knee surgery the year that I lost all the weight. And I reclaimed 15 pounds. So I was like averaging 215. And then the following year, I hurt my back right after joining a police department.
Wrap it up in duct tape and fucking keep going.
I tried. I seriously tried. And it was such a bad thing. I don't even want to get into the details, but it was such a bad injury. I was just like, all from doing bend over rows. They weren't even heavy to me. I was doing 135 pound bend over rows, which I'd done up to like 300 before. Nothing ever went wrong. And this day, I think I was like, that was just the universe's way of saying, you know, I don't think you belong in this profession. You're not paying attention, bitch.
Right.
Boom. Here's your back. And after that, and that put me on bed rest for like 6 months. So I ended up having to like resign for medical reasons from that job. It was just like, I'm not going to say the city that it was for, but it was a city here in the Bay Area, obviously. But yeah, I was just like, hey, I can't do this. I can barely stand up without being in like pain, and I'm trying to like hide and fake the fat, you know, act like I'm not hurting and shit. So, but yeah, no, I gained so much weight since then. I'm like now trying so hard to lose it. I'm the heaviest I've ever been. I'm like 305 pounds right now. When I look at photos of myself from like 4.5, 5 years ago, even when I weighed 250, I was like, damn, I didn't even look fat back then versus right now.
I've been doing this mental shaming on myself. I don't know you. I don't even know if it's healthy, but I've been doing it. I shared this with a coworker today, because we're talking about the gym, and I told her, I was like, yeah, I do about an hour of lifting weights. I do an hour of cardio. And
I'm laughing because my older brother told me he did the same thing to himself last year for like 5 or 6 months straight. He was working mm-hmm. out, going through his little,
yeah,
going through his, up, I, through his thing.
I think you have to.
And he, yeah, I think you do. I think you have to, like, you have to be strict on yourself. You,
yeah.
Because if no one's going to motivate you, if no one's going to coach you, push you.
No one's going to do it.
I follow guys in the fitness industry, like Christian Guzman and Charlie Coker. And those dudes are like, if you need a coach to hold you accountable, you are setting yourself up to fail. Because Gil, I could be coaching you tomorrow and what, the hours that I'm not there.
Yeah.
You can go say, fuck it, stop at Jack in the Box, get a burger.
Right.
You could say, screw it, kill a six pack when you get home.
Right.
So I think, like, what you're saying is it's one of those things where you got to hold yourself accountable. You got to be your advocate, and you also got to be your biggest critic sometimes. It's not.
Most definitely.
Yeah. Like, don't do it to the point where you're like not eating or not sleeping or like doing steroids to see results. But I mean, like, do it to hold yourself to that higher standard, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I think that's what people seem to forget is you can hold yourself accountable to anything in life. But you have to, again, you have to have like that mental fortitude to do it.
So I was telling my coworker, she asked me, like, what do you do? And I was like, okay, well, I do an hour of weights and I do an hour of cardio. And she was like, your gym lets you do an hour of cardio? And I was like, yeah. She was like, oh, the machines, I guess she goes to 24-hour fitness. And she said that
they time out after 30
minutes. Yeah, they time after 30 minutes. And
you can always reset it.
Yeah, she told me, but I was just like, oh, that's kind of odd. I was like, well, I go to Planet Fitness where all the fat people go, so they encourage an hour of cardio for all the fat fucks. Whoa, that go wow. To Planet Fitness.
You've been going to Planet Fitness. I'm a 24-hour man.
Yeah,
I tried Planet Fitness last year for like,
see, this is
four thing. Months and I just didn't like it.
This is the thing. So I'm allowing myself at least 365 days at Planet Fitness. If I could get to 365 days at Planet Fitness, then I'll think about going to another gym.
All right.
You know, I think I made that decision like yesterday. So I'm gonna give myself an amount of time and then I'll switch over.
I think for me what it is, I've been a 24-hour fitness member since 2012. November of 2012. And I tried Planet Fitness for a few months, like I think like 3 or 4 months. And even though it's closer to my house, because by the time I left 24 and I've gone back to 24, obviously, I ended up joining like their, like the exclusive sport or club sport, whatever the hell, like the more expensive gym is with the nicer equipment. I got so used to the nice equipment that the equipment at Planet Fitness just doesn't do it for me. Like, you guys don't have like actual bench presses, at least not the ones without the support beams on the side, you know, like, so you don't drop the weight on yourself and can't get it off yourself.
Right.
I think that's my thing, is I got more used to like having the free weights and higher weight limits at 24 over what Planet Fitness has. And I'm not knocking anybody for going to Planet Fitness. If you like it and it works for you, if it's showing results, fuck it, man. Do you?
Yeah.
Like, the thing is that you get the results in, you know. If you're going to go to any gym and just lollygag all the whole time you're there and chit chat with everybody, take pictures and pretend you're like you're doing something to make yourself feel good. Hey, if you're in good shape, cool, whatever. If you're not in good shape, you're lying to yourself and you're just wasting your money, your time, and you go find another fucking activity that's going to give you what you want. Because there's lots of things. You can go out there. I got friends that go out on the weekends and run marathons. I got friends that go out and cycle like up to 100 miles around the fucking bay, around the entire bay of the Bay Area. You know, like I'm saying, like there's multiple things you can do. You can go hiking, whatever, go join a samba class or whatever, you know, like whatever. I hate to say how cliche it sounds, whatever gets you moving, just go do it. But don't go somewhere and just waste your time and money. That's just like, that's just dumb.
And I felt like I was doing that. Like, I had a gym membership for, you know, X amount of months and I was never going.
What gym was it?
Planet Fitness.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, at least you weren't spending a lot of money at Planet Fitness.
No, absolutely.
Planet Fitness is relatively cheap compared to like other gyms.
Yeah. So that's why I'm giving, right now I'm in my elementary phase of fitness. So I figure 300, after I'm done with 365 days at Planet Fitness, I'll think about going to another gym. What I like is the pool. Like, I was looking.
Oh, you guys have a pool at yours?
No, I'm saying like that's like a game changer. If I find a gym with a pool, then
most 24s have them.
Yeah, I think that's just a plus.
Mine has like a brand new pool, and I've swam in it before, but I haven't swam in it at least this year. I think the last time I swam in that pool was like 2019 or 2018. When they first opened the gym, but
do you have to wear swim trunks? Do you have to?
Yeah, you gotta wear swim trunks. What are you trying to do? Swim in your undies?
I'm trying to swim butt naked, dude. Is it butt naked or buck?
Buck.
Is it buck? Buck naked?
Buck naked. I don't get why.
That sounds weird. Buck. Buck.
I know, right? Like it sounds like you're fucking hunting a deer.
Maybe that's where they
look at that buck right there.
Maybe
look at its fucking antler. Look at its single antler. Look how big that fucking antler that buck has.
Look at its ass.
Oh, wait, that's a human man.
Yeah. I think that's where it originated from.
Probably so. I think one of the weird things is, like, not the 24 that I go to right now, but I'm pretty sure it happens. But the 24 I went to in the past out here, like, in the area that I live, like, it was a more ghetto gym, but at the same time, you'd have like old dudes just walk into the fucking sauna in a robe and just like drop the robe. And it's like, motherfucker, really? You're just sitting here with your dick hanging out? Like,
I've only seen that at 24 Hour Fitnesses.
And that's what I've heard.
I've never seen it at Planet. Planet, everybody has their towels wrapped around them. Maybe for like a quick.
Well, it's that whole no judgment zone thing, you know?
Well,
because I swear to God, like I've been to 24s and in the locker room, and yeah, I'm not shaming nobody because I'm not putting on the names. But I've seen people just stand there butt naked, hold a conversation with the gentleman next to them, and I'm just like, okay, you guys are pretty comfortable there.
Yeah, I want to be at that.
And I've heard the girls tell me the same thing. Like the older ladies that are there do the damn same thing, and it's just like, what the fuck?
I want to be so, you know, positive, body positive with myself that I'm able to do that.
Same.
I think. But, dude, it's all a mindset. Even if you're comfortable with your body now, you can still do that, right? I think it's just your mindset and just the way that you perceive your physical body and your mind.
It's funny you say mindset and, like, how you, you know, we're talking about appearance at this point. Earlier, I was talking with one of my co-hosts from the Inner Monologue podcast, and he was telling me how
he recently lost some weight. You threw a little plug in there? Okay.
I threw a little plug.
Who was it? Who were you talking to?
It was
Ricky?
It was Ricky.
Okay.
It was Ricky. I don't know, right? But he was telling me, like, because he recently lost like 15 pounds just playing soccer. Again, get moving and lose weight. And another plug right there for losing weight. And he tells me today, when he wanted to lose weight months ago, it was mostly because he was getting winded at work. He's like a really physically demanding job. And he tells me that, I'm sure his wife will never hear this. Ricky might, but his wife probably won't. That she's told him, you're just trying to look better for the podcast host.
Oh.
And when Ricky said that today, I was like, bro, what hoes? Like, shit, there's hoes for podcasters? Like, I had no clue. Where are they? Where do I meet these hoes? I'm like, where can I find them? So I can just ask them questions. I don't want to do anything with them. I just want to interview them and ask them questions. Why do you like podcasters and shit? You know, like, it was just fucking funny to me. I'm like, I didn't know this is a thing. Is it a thing, Gil? I don't know.
Is it? Maybe it's a thing that we don't know about.
Hey, there's groupies for us, man. Shit, we're
podcast
groupies. You know what? We're not Joe Rogan status yet. That's where we got to get to.
We'll get there. Don't worry. It's all right. About
one
how much
one episode at a
one
time.
One episode at a time, and it's all about pushing yourself and you have to push yourself to get those hoes, Julio.
Yes, I do.
So she was saying that sure. he. So she was saying that.
That's what he told me today was that.
His motivation to lose weight and to get fit is because of the like podcast hoes.
Groupies or hoes. Yeah. And I'm driving in traffic because he said that. I almost like backed, like drove into the car in front of me. I'm like, wait, what?
But was she saying it jokingly or was
I think she was saying it to him jokingly. Like from what he told me, this is like months back when she mentioned it to him. And I was just like, I was kind of like mind blown. I was just like, are you fucking kidding? Like, really? She said that to you? Go figure.
A man can't just get into shape because he wants to feel better about himself.
I'm trying to do it for my health, man. Shit, I just did my lab work this past weekend and the doctors are like, you need to like drop weight ASAP, like quick. And I'm just like, how quick? You don't want to die quick.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, cool. Enough said.
I think that scares me the most because of just my family health history is.
We're Hispanic. There's probably high blood pressure, diabetes in there. Some other chronic illnesses that revolve around the liver and kidneys and around the heart. Maybe even some in the stomach too, you know. Like, so yeah, I see where you're coming from. Shit, yeah. The last few months I've been, I guess at this point I'm diabetic. And I hate that because I told myself I wasn't going to let that happen. Because my grandmother died of diabetes. My mom's been dealing with diabetes for like the last 30 years of her life.
Wow.
My dad became diabetic like 10 years ago. And that's crazy because he's 81. It just happened like in the last 10 years. It's just like the switch got flipped.
Yeah.
And he was generally pretty. Well, he worked out a lot and he worked a lot, but he wasn't a healthy eater. But he was always able to like maintain the weight and keep it off. But
yeah.
Yeah, like I recently got diagnosed with it like a while back.
But you're
had high blood pressure for the last couple of years, but my girlfriend's been helping me diet finally, like kept me on a diet.
But I think you're at a good point to where you identified that and then you can stop it. And percentage of the time it's reversible.
Oh, totally. I think my biggest struggle lately, because I've been dieting a lot. My girlfriend's been doing keto and like low carb stuff to kind of mix it up every day. But I do realize when you know, either she's not around sometimes and I'm at work, I'll grab myself. I work in San Francisco. Dude, there's so much good food in San Francisco. And
oh, yeah.
It's so easy to just cheat, you know, like go grab whatever.
Yep.
But I've cut back on that a lot. But there's times where me and her go out and we just get stuff. We just get whatever we want, you know? And I think that's one of those things I identify where I need to learn to enjoy smaller portions to enjoy life, not enjoy like a huge thing of nachos or like a huge thing of carne asada fries.
Yeah.
The biggest burrito I can get my hands on, you know?
Like, yeah.
That's something that I've kind of been realizing lately. Like, yeah, cause I can do all the work throughout the week to keep my calories low and eat low carb and drink lots of water and work out in the gym, but I can destroy that in a matter of an hour with the wrong meal.
Yeah, portion is definitely a big one, but you can have all that. I allow myself at least about a day and a half of eating whatever the hell I want, but even then, I still control my portions. I still watch. I still watch what I eat. I don't overeat. I don't overdrink. There was a point in my life where I was drinking alcohol. I was drinking really heavy beers with high alcohol percentages every day. Ooh. Every day. And on top of that, I was overeating. And it was just like nachos, it was pizza, it was burgers, it was wings, right. It was all that bar food. And that was my diet. And then I wake up feeling like a pile of dog shit, go to work, get off, and do it all over again. Now I'm only allowing myself maybe what? A drink here and there on the weekend only? I don't drink during the week anymore. I just don't like the feeling of just fucking feeling like dog shit.
Yeah, the feeling of being hungover is not...
No, it's not fun anymore.
It should never be satisfying, and you shouldn't be proud of it either. Like,
yeah.
I know people, I mean, like, I'm in my early 30s, I'm 33, and I know people that are my age and older, and they're proud as shit to wake up with a hangover still, and I'm like, dude, why?
Yeah, it's not fun.
I'm questioning what you find enjoyable about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not productive the day after, and if you go to work, you're not super excited while you're at work, you're fucking dragging your ass all goddamn day.
And how productive and are you? There.
But yeah, exactly, you know, like, if you notice, like, most people, when they drink heavily and have that hangover, they tend to eat, like, a lot of bad, heavy, greasy shit in order to, like, soak up the alcohol. And the reality is, nah, dude, your body has to metabolize that shit. There is no soaking it up.
Right.
Your body, in the older you get, the longer it takes for your body to metabolize it.
Yeah. And it's just a vicious cycle after that. It's you're drinking alcohol, and then you have to intake all this fucking greasy ass food. You have to intake all these carbohydrates to offset the shitty feeling that you're feeling, and get the serotonin from all the food, you know, to make you at least feel somewhat kind of normal, but you're still hungover, dehydrated, and then you do it all over again. It's just a vicious cycle of fucking yourself up.
No, I agree. I think I remember when I was like younger and I was in college, there was one summer, I think I was like 22 years old. I think I was either 22 or 23. I can't remember, but man, like, me, Jose, and occasionally Marcus would join us, and sometimes Rick too. Like, we go out and like drink like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, fuck, sometimes even Sunday night.
Yeah.
And and we couldn't fucking figure out why. And we were spending like, you know, $50 a person up to $100 a person on every outing, dude. Shit. And we're just like, damn, this shit added up quick, dude. Like a couple thousand, probably more than that, probably like $3,000 each, give or take. But still, it's like, damn, you look back like, fuck, I wish I had that money right now sitting in my damn savings.
Yeah.
Hell, I honestly, looking back, I've been cutting back on drinking so much, especially since I moved in with my girlfriend. It's kind of weird how that happened. You know, at first, like, I enjoy a drink here and there at the new place. Now it's like, you know what? I don't really want to be hungover in the morning, or I don't want to like deal with this shit in the AM. Like, I honestly can't remember the last time I had a drink. I think it might have been 2 months ago. Whoa. Wow. Okay. That might have been a while back. Yeah, no, I'm thinking about it right now. That was a while back.
My girlfriend doesn't drink. She doesn't smoke cigarettes. She doesn't smoke weed. She barely touches alcohol. And honestly, that's something that I really needed.
That's my girlfriend too.
You know, that's something that I've really, really needed without even knowing. Because when we first got together, dude, I was still in my habits of drinking, eating like fucking
you like shit all the time.
Eating, drinking, and just like I would see the look in her eyes. Like, she wouldn't tell me that, because she wouldn't tell me how she would feel about me ordering a drink at every meal, at every occasion, every
Jesus
dinner
Christ.
That we would go out to. She never wanted to say something, because she was always just like, we were barely dating, and she didn't want to, like, you know, she didn't want to say anything, because she felt like it wasn't her place to say anything, right? Which I get. But
I kind of had that, I kind of had like that happen with my girlfriend too. When she met me 2 years ago, just over 2 years ago, I just quit working as a supervisor at the ambulance company that I was at. And I remember, like, from December up until maybe like the week before I quit, I was going out binging whenever I had days off with coworkers. Like, go to a bar here, go to a bar there, get a couple drinks, or get fucking shit faced. I think my boss called me one morning and I was like, oh, like, are you sick? No, I'm hungover. Oh, well, I'm here in the office. Can you tell me where you left A, B, C, and D? I'm like, yeah. He's like, okay, I don't feel bad for waking you up. I'm like, whatever.
I don't feel bad.
And yeah, that's what he told me. That's what the jackass told me. Fuck him. He knows who he is. But yeah, I remember I was like drinking like crazy. And it was funny as an EMT that was, looking back, that's something that I recalled doing. I always had like,
that's terrible as an EMT.
There was always times here and there where I would like if I had like a really rough week and it was finally my Friday. Mm-hmm. Oh dude, I'd come home, kill a six pack of like an IPA or something really heavy.
Yeah.
And, you know, get like some heavy food and just like binge Netflix, or I'd go out with a couple of my coworkers and drink and whatever. And as a supervisor, I think I amped that up quite a bit.
Yeah.
Towards like the second half of the first of my year as a supervisor for that ambulance company. And looking back now, I was like, dude, my job as a supervisor is still a little stressful at the place I'm at now, but I hardly even drink.
Dude, what I think it all boils down to is how you deal with your stress. Like what's the plan when you have stress? And it all boils down to your habit of how you handle your stress.
You have to change them for sure. I think recently working on the podcast with the guys and then vlogging my life on my days off, it's weird because it's, in a sense, it's more work. It obviously is more work, and then I'm not getting paid for it. But it's become like it becomes relaxing to an extent once you start, you know, like the process of doing everything, going to locations and seeing new stuff and enjoying being out there and recording. Like this weekend, me and my girlfriend went out to Half Moon Bay, and
what is that?
We're searching for this. It's like a little city along the coast.
Okay.
Like it's like about probably 30, 40 minutes south of San Francisco. It's like halfway to Santa Cruz. And we were heading out that way looking for this lighthouse, and it's hilarious because we kind of got trolled by social media twice this past weekend. We eventually found the lighthouse, and it was like the area for the lighthouse itself is fenced off with locked fences and barbed wire, but there's a cute little miniature lighthouse right at the entrance, and that's what everybody makes a big deal about on social media. And I'm just like, did we really just fucking drive over an hour to find this little fucking model of the lighthouse at the entrance?
I think you did.
I did. And what's hilarious is the night before, on this past Friday, me, my girlfriend, Ricky, and his wife were going to go see the Aurora Borealis, because my girlfriend found a post from SF Gate that it was going to be visible this past Friday in the Bay Area. It was fucking April Fool's, dude, and the four of us fell for it. I got to Ricky's house, and my girl's like going through the comments on that post on Instagram on SF Gate, which is like the Chronicle, Center School Chronicles, like magazine.
Okay.
And they're like, you know, people are like, wait, you fooled us, ha ha ha, and all this shit. And I'm like, damn, well, good thing we didn't drive more than like 10 minutes from our house, or else I'd be pretty pissed off right now if I made it out to the coast of the Marin Headlands and out there and can't see shit.
Wow.
Yeah, dude. And Ricky, like, poor Rick, he'd worked like a fucking 13-hour day. He was so tired, but he was still like willing to go and see this. And he's in the back of the car, like, while we're waiting for his wife to come out. And he's like, so you're telling me this is a, like, April Fool's joke? Yeah. See, I told you. You should have listened to me earlier. He was so mellow about it, dude. I was like, wow. I was expecting him to be fucking pissed.
Well, the fucker was tired. He worked a 13-hour day. What do you expect?
Yeah, I know, right? And he had to go work the next day, too. So, like, he just let it go.
Yeah, fuck it.
And it was hilarious. His wife got in the car, and we told her, yeah, this is actually an April Fool's prank. We just found out. And she's like, oh, gosh darn it. No, they were pretty good sports about it. I was just like, well, fuck it. At least I put gas in my car. And the next day we went down to Half Moon Bay, and that was pretty nice too. We found some really nice flower fields, took some pictures alongside US 1 and whatever, and all that good shit. And it was cool, you know, got to see the ocean and all that. That was always a nice thing. I know I live in the Bay Area, but I don't really go to the coast like I used to when I was living in the city when I was a kid.
Dude, I love the beach.
I know.
I love the beach.
You still working on trying to get a house out in Long Beach? I hope you do one day.
It's gonna take a couple of years, but it's gonna happen.
I'm assuming that's gonna be one fucking fat down payment you gotta put down.
But it's gonna happen. I'm working on getting a new car.
Oh, nice. What are you trying to get?
20.
I know you're not a big car guy, so.
No, a 2022 CHR by Toyota.
Those are actually pretty cool. I like the styling on them.
They're cool. They're really cool.
And they're Toyotas. They last forever.
I've always liked the hatchback look, and now I'm really digging the crossover looks.
The crossover combined with that, cause you get to sit a little higher. You still got some roominess and a little bit of functionality to it. No, I get it.
Yeah.
I like how those things look, man. Honestly, make sure you get one that's built in Japan and not in Mexico. Toyota's quality in Japan is far superior than what they build in Mexico.
Mine is actually on the, it's on the vessel from coming from overseas. So it's like,
wow.
It's like brand new coming off the lot.
You actually put an order in.
Mm-hmm.
Dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I went to
You're the second person I know of that's done something
like this. To the dealership, put a deposit, put my name on it so that way it shows sold into their inventory, mm-hmm. so that when it gets to the dealership, they'll call me, I'll head over to the dealership, pick it
up and sign the paperwork.
Drive it around. If I say yes, I want it, then we start the paperwork. Yeah.
Nice, dude. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
What color did you get?
I got
blue.
No. I try to get the blue, but my girlfriend was just like, don't fucking get the blue. I see him.
Fucking Dodgers blue.
Yeah,
color.
Yeah. I tried, but.
You could have got the white roof. You're going to get the white roof with the blue body, weren't you?
No. No, I wasn't going to get that.
Yeah,
no.
You would have.
No, I got.
Yeah,
you
fucking I'm just messing with you, dude.
I got the gray. The gray limited edition and
ooh,
with the black rims. Like the specs on it are fucking phenomenal, dude.
What was that, like 30 grand?
What is it? 29, close to 30. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, no, I like how those things look. I was thinking about getting something like that or even getting the Honda HR-V.
Those are nice, too.
When I was at the they're nice. Yeah. And I was just like, meh. Yeah, it would have been a little cheaper than my Accord. But at the same time, I like a good sedan,
mm-hmm.
I guess, which is kind of weird because a lot of people don't nowadays. Everybody seems to buy a crossover.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do a lot of... See, this is the thing. I do a lot of like camping. I go to the beach a lot.
Right.
I
No, it's perfect. You put a roof rack on the roof and you put a surfboard.
I want to do all that. That's the plan. I feel like the car I have now, I have a fucking 2004 piece of shit Toyota. The only thing that I told my girlfriend about that I'm probably going to miss with this older vehicle is that...
Uh-huh. The insurance is cheap as shit?
It's cheap as shit, but it's not even just the monetary reasons. It's because like it's already beat to shit, so I can treat it like shit. Like the motor...
And not care.
The motor, I get oil changes because it's very, very high mileage.
Right.
Over 250,000 miles on it. It's getting there. It's getting
the transmission there. Is still shifting nice and smooth?
No, it's for now it is.
I mean, hey, it's a Toyota. Those things can last a minute if you take care of them.
It's a good car, and I drive 50 miles to go see my son, you know, three times a week. And then...
Right.
Another 50 miles the other direction to go see my girlfriend, you know, X amount of days. So I'm constantly driving. I'm on the road all the time.
Yeah.
You know, when I go out and, what I like about that is cars. When I go to the beach or me and my son go to the beach, we just get in, not even fucking drying ourselves off or fucking shaking up out any of the sand. We just get right in the car and just fucking
leave. Don't give a shit anymore. Yeah. It's like, whatever. Now you got to like bring towels and dry your feet off, dust sand off your shoes and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get some good all weather floor mats for
which it's part of that's part of the package that I got. I got the weatherproof
stuff.
Oh,
dude, I was going to tell you, get the ones from WeatherTech because it... Usually they make them for all the car manufacturers, this company called WeatherTech,
mm-hmm.
but they make them kind of cheaply. And then the like Toyota or whoever charges you like an extra, you know, charge like up the ass, like $300 for like a set of floor mats. This company makes them. They're usually like $100 cheaper and they're nicer and they cover more of the floor. But okay. I mean, hey, at least you got something. Yeah.
Yeah. I figure if I'm going to do all that, you know, if I plan to do all that stuff, might as well get the vehicle ready for all that.
Yeah, get some good seat covers and all that, man. Because like my Accord, it's a Honda Accord, but it's $33,000 mm-hmm. MSRP Honda Accord. You know, that's an under $500 car note that I make every month. That's not like something that I can just say whatever to and throw away. Like, no, that's an expensive car. My girlfriend's like, you take care of that thing way too much. I want this fucker to last like 10 years. And at the rate I'm driving, I already have like 34,000 fucking miles and it's a 2020.
Yeah. I think that's the thing that I'm most hesitant about getting a new car is the way I'm going to treat the interior. Because I've never had a new car before. The 2004 Matrix that I have now is the newest.
Oh, those are good cars.
The newest car that I've ever had.
I'm surprised you didn't get the Corolla hatchback.
No. I was looking at Honda and I was looking at Toyotas for a long time. I've always driven Hondas, so I thought it was either the Honda CRX or it was a Civic, the Sport.
Oh, right.
I was actually thinking of either getting one of those or the, it was that, the Civic Sport or a Honda Fit.
They don't make those no more.
Or the CHR by Toyota. They don't make them anymore. Why not?
No, they stopped making the Fit. Did they apparently really? when they brought the freaking, I forgot. HRV mm-hmm. over to the US, it dried up their Fit sales.
Wow.
Because everybody was like, well, I can get this thing right here. It's only a little bit more expensive and only drinks a little bit more gas. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit bigger and a little bit higher off the ground. And it's still a hatchback. And kaboom, everybody went for that.
But I like the Fits because of just the size. I think they're aesthetically, they're good looking cars.
Dude, I know we got two generations of those here in the United States. I remember back in high school when the first one came over, I was like, I want that. And my mom was like, she helped me buy my first car. And she was like, that thing looks so small. It's a death trap. I'm not buying you a fucking coffin. No. But it's so slow. I won't be able to crash it. It's so slow. You won't be able to get off. You won't be able to get out of someone's way on the freeway. And for a woman who doesn't drive, I was like, wow, that makes a lot of sense.
So your first car was a Honda Fit?
No, it was my first car ever was my dad's commuter, which was like a 1998 Ford Taurus that he handed down to me in 2005 when I got my license. And that was his commuter. He worked in the San Francisco shipyards. So the car was beat to shit, grimy inside, like the sand from the shipyards that would get in his shoes and boots was like had eaten out the carpet on the driver's side. The seat cushion was all beat from him sitting in traffic. Like, you had to put like a towel on so you could sit level. It didn't have a fucking CD player or a cassette player. It just had an AM/FM radio.
Yes.
It was before ABS brakes was supposed to be standard. So there was a couple times where I'd slam the brakes and lock that fucker up and I lose control of it and in the rain here and there. And then like when I went to college, he let me start driving his convertible to college. He had like an 01 Chrysler Sebring. With the leather seats and all that good stuff. And that was cool. And then my first new car was a 2009 Dodge Charger with the 3.5 liter V6. I wasn't allowed to get a V8, but I wanted a big body car. And I went with it, and it was cool. And I had it for 11 years up until I got my Accord. And I drove it so... And here's the thing. I was so worried about the car breaking down because it was a Dodge Charger and they didn't have the best engine on them. I would change the oil every 3,000 miles, even though the interval was every 5,000. A couple things went wrong with it while I was still under warranty, so they fixed it, you know, for free. But I was scared to drive it anywhere because I didn't want to like add up miles on it and fuck it up or have something break.
Right.
That when I was a broker young adult, I wasn't able to afford to fix. Like I was able to make the car note because I had money saved up at the time from scholarships and financial aid that I never used. And and with my mom helping me out, we put money, a good amount of money down on it. And I had a really cheap car note that was under $300 a month, which, thank you, mom, I appreciate it. But yeah, I mean, once the car, when I got rid of the car, it was 11 years old. It had barely 98,000 miles on it. And I had been commuting with it to a job in San Francisco after my ambulance company job, which was all my jobs up until 2020 were within 10 to 15 minutes of my house, maybe 20 minutes max. Commuting San Francisco, especially to the southern part past San Francisco into Brisbane down the peninsula, man, that thing was killing gas. And once, pandemic started letting things open up a little bit, there was more traffic. And I was like, well, I'm worrying about this thing overheating and it's got a couple issues. It's burning oil like a motherfucker now and all these little things that are starting to build up on it. And I just had to get a new car. And I went with a Honda Accord and here I am. I got 34,000 miles on it in just under the 2 year mark. I'm about to drive it to LA this weekend, hopefully, and see you. I hope. And I honestly don't give a shit if I keep putting more miles on it. The insurance keeps going up every fucking 6 months by $15, $20 a month. And I'm just meh, fuck it. I'm not going to let you assholes dictate what I do in my life. I'm going to drive this bitch until the wheels fall off.
Fuck it. Just do it, man.
Right. You're doing it. Why not?
Yeah. By the way, we have to figure out a place and a time, area. Cause you said you're going to be out in Orange County, right?
Yeah. So my girl's going Orange? To a surprise party.
The city Orange.
Well, you're going to I don't know where she's, I don't know exactly where she's going. I'm going to be staying at, let me double check my reservation for my hotel room.
Ladies and gentlemen, Julio is going to bless me with his presence, hopefully soon.
I'm going to be staying at the Comfort Inn Suites Orange County by the John Wayne Airport.
John Wayne Airport.
So I'm going to be staying in Santa Ana.
Oh, Santa Ana is not too far from me. That's what, 40 minutes out?
I told her, we'd probably go out and have some drinks, and she's like, are you going to drive to him? I'm like, I was thinking about it. You better have him come and meet you. I'm like,
we can do that. Well, because I don't drink and drive, dude. So if anything, we can meet around where you are at, and we'll
sure it's some good restaurant or something. Go out.
I'll look for something nice. So you said you're gonna be around John Wayne Airport.
Yeah, I'm gonna be staying around the John Wayne Airport. Matter of fact, let me look at it on the maps here and see where. Really fucking Expedia's app just opened
because
up.
Over here because I'm working that morning, but by my work they're having a wrestling match or something.
Really?
by our sports bar that's over here by my job, and Jasmine St. Clair from ECW.
Hey, yeah, you just had her on I listened to that episode.
She's gonna be there in Pomona. So I was thinking of maybe stopping by that, or I don't know, dude. There's so many things that we can do, especially in Santa Ana. There's good places over there. We'll find.
Yeah,
something.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I'm sure we'll find something to get ourselves into for sure.
We'll find something. Yeah, but till then, dude, Julio, thanks for popping in and having this conversation with me.
Thank you for having me as always. It's always a pleasure for you to let me talk nonstop for over 2 hours sometimes.
Marcus loves it. Ricky can't stand it. Jose is very neutral about it. But tell us where we can listen to and find Inner Monologue Podcast and Life with Julio.
All right, let's see if I remember everything. So as far as the podcast goes, it's the Inner Monologue Podcast. Monologue spelled M-O-N-O. L-O-G, pretty much mono and log at the end. You can find us on YouTube at the Inner Monologue Podcast. We got some good content going. We've done some mid-season changes, but we're about to finish our third season. We got a fourth season coming up. You can also find us on our Facebook page, again, the Inner Monologue Podcast. We're on Instagram at the Inner Monologue Podcast. You guys can email us at the Inner Monologue Podcast, and you can listen to us on Spotify, Google, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, even Amazon. There's a couple more too, but we're pretty much on every platform under the Inner Monologue Podcast, exactly how I spelled it out earlier. And as far as for me and the guys goes, we all have, three of us have our own YouTube channels going now. I have Life with Julio, where I do like little vlogs of what's going on in my life. I vlog me moving out into my new little home to going out on trips. I'm probably going to vlog you and me hanging out this coming weekend. Hopefully I make it down there. At the moment, things are looking a little shaky, but I'm praying that they work out still. Jose has his Mo Boxing No Problem channel, and he's doing great. He's whooping my ass on the views. But then he's got a good niche going. And Marcus has the Goofy Hunter Academy. And that's doing well too. So you guys can find us on all those avenues. Yeah. Give us a listen, watch our videos. I always tell the audience, you guys could like leave us comments on our social media platforms or in our videos, like questions you want to answer, we can answer them on the next episode. We're posting one video a day now, Monday through Friday. Sometimes we'll do a bonus on Saturdays. We're doing like 8 to 15 minute segments now and posting them up daily.
Ricky,
that was a lot.
I have to write all that stuff down. Ricky, yeah. We need you to start a YouTube channel. I mean,
he's getting ready to become a father in a few months, so I think his priorities are set. Yeah,
dude, right there, that's a good niche. First time father. I mean, that's, think about it, Ricky.
I know, right? Like, I think I brought that up to him.
What to expect when you're expecting?
Ricky, get on it, bro.
Right. I'll be on your show. I'll talk about my experiences with my oops. But
I start my own podcast on the side, I'm thinking.
Yeah, do it, dude. I'll be on.
Maybe do like a car focused podcast.
That'd be cool.
Car guy, the crew.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. All the links to Julio's stuff and the Inner Monologue stuff will be down in the show description. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And if you're on YouTube, thanks for watching. I really appreciate it. Krisha, I hope you feel better. And I want to hear about your psychedelic mushroom experience. So hopefully you feel good. I am awaiting for that. So hopefully you feel better. And I think...
Get well soon.
I think that was another one. And thank you, everybody, for listening and watching. I love you all. Peace, and I'll see you on the next one. Julio, I'll see you. Hopefully, we're gonna see each other this weekend. So,
I really hope so, dude. So
it's gonna be
done recording, and I'll tell you what's going on.
Okay, I gotta go. All right, everybody, I gotta go. I love you all. Bye bye.
Later.
The Mind Buzz. Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Mind Buzz podcast. Subscribe to the Mind Buzz YouTube channel and watch full podcast episodes. Keep up with the hosts, guests, and upcoming events by following the Mind Buzz on Instagram @TheMindBuzz. See you on the next one.